Hi, it's Sean Coyne at StoryGrid.com here. Welcome to lesson two of my quickie, less than 30-minute, three-lesson surefire roadmap to outlining your next novel. Now remember that I'll be using the National Novel Writing Month goal of writing a 50,000-word novel in 30 days as the benchmark for these three lessons. Now, in the first lesson, we've already broken our outline into three parts. The beginning, which will be 25% of the story, which is approximately 12,500 words. The middle, which will be 50% of the story, approximately 25,000 words. And the end, which will be the last 25%, or 12,500 words. Now, what's the next level of story that we can easily break those big chunks into? Well, it's the primary unit of story for novelists, screenwriters, playwrights, advertising executives, just about everyone who writes for a living. And it's called the scene. Well, remember in the first lesson, I told you about the 25-50-25 rule for beginning, middle, and end for novels. And I also told you that I wasn't going to give you a doctoral dissertation about why that is. Well, the same thing applies for the next bit of information I'm going to give you. Now, scenes are approximately 1,500 words. Obviously, that number is not set in concrete. Some scenes are less than 500 words, others are over 5,000. It all depends. It's fluid. But as a general guideline, use 1,500 as your ballpark scene figure. Why? Well, it's what I call potato chip length. What that means is that if your goal is to keep readers reading your story throughout the night, your scenes need to be shortish, so that they can enjoy them like you would a bag of potato chips. Now, we all know that anybody who has a bag of potato chips in front of them eats one chip, enjoys it, and then has another and another and another, and before they know it, the entire bag's gone. So that's what you're shooting for in 1,500-word scenes. They're sort of the literary equivalent of a really good potato chip. Okay, so if a scene is 1,500 words, and the beginning of our 50,000-word novel is 12,500 words, we're going to have 8 to 9 scenes for our beginning. And then, if the middle is 25,000 words, we're going to have 16 to 17 scenes for the middle. And lastly, if our end's 12,500, we're going to have 8 to 9 scenes for the ending. Great. So now we've broken NaNoWriMo's 50,000-word goal into 33 to 34 scenes that are made up of three distinct piles, just like those piles that I used to put together the above-ground pool at home. We have 8 to 9 scenes for the beginning, 16 to 17 scenes for the middle, and 8 to 9 scenes for the end. And since we also know that NaNoWriMo has 30 days in November for you to complete the 50,000-word manuscript, we know that we're going to have to write at least one scene a day for 27 days and 2 scenes a day for 3 days. And that'll get us to 33 to 34 final scenes, which will get us up to over 50,000-word manuscript. Great. Perfect. So now we've broken 50,000 words into 33 to 34 scenes of 1,500 words approximately. So that's fantastic. Now, the only problem that we have now is we don't really know what a scene is. What is a scene made up of? So let's do that next. Okay, here's a scene. Knock, knock. Who's there? Banana. Banana who? Knock, knock. Who's there? Banana. Banana who? Knock, knock. Who's there? Orange. Orange who? Aren't you glad I didn't say banana? Now, I'm going to break down that 14-line joke / scene into 5 components. These 5 components are what I call the 5 commandments of storytelling. And every scene in your novel must have these 5 components, or it will not form a story that works. So to answer our earlier question, these 5 things are what scenes are made up of. Okay. The first commandment of storytelling is called the inciting incident. The inciting incident is an initial action that upsets the balance of a character or characters in the scene. The initial action could be the result of a coincidence, like rain beginning to fall in the middle of a romantic picnic, or it can be causal, that is, an action caused by one character. Someone does something that affects someone else. Now, in the case of our knock-knock joke scene, we have a causal inciting incident. The joke teller simply states the obligatory beginning of a knock-knock joke when he says, "Knock-knock." The joke listener then reacts to the jokester. He keeps the inciting incident rolling by actively searching for satisfaction of his curiosity. The balance of his life has been upset by curiosity with the jokester's statement, "Knock, knock." So he wants an answer in order to get back to balance. So he asks, "Who's there?" Great. So that's the inciting incident in two lines. Now comes the second commandment of storytelling, the requirement of having progressive complications. A complication is just what it sounds like. It's a moment of conflict between at least two characters or a character and her environment. And you can pinpoint where there is conflict too. It's when one character's expectations of the other character are not met in the way he or she anticipated. So, when our jokester answers our joke listener's question, "Who's there?" with "banana," our joke listener's expectations of the answer are not satisfied. He doesn't laugh or even get the joke yet. That is the conflict that complicates the relationship, and it is the first complication in our joke/scene. There will be more. And the magnitude of the conflict, as we progress, will get larger. Because he is still curious and unsatisfied, our listener follows up the banana statement from the jokester with yet another question. Banana who? And this is where the beginning of our knock-knock joke/scene ends. Our joke listener is now hooked by the jokester. He wants to know what the joker will say next. So the beginning of our joke/scene is an inciting incident and one complication. Let's remember that. And now the joke/scene transitions into its middle with another complication. This second complication of the scene is that our jokester does not answer the banana who question. Instead, he incites the start of the middle of our joke/scene with another knock-knock question of his own. This, of course, produces even more conflict. The dissatisfaction in our joke listener rises after he does not get an adequate answer to his first question, which raises the level of conflict between the two characters. But our joke listener decides to respond to the second knock-knock anyway. He's still game to play along, even though it's getting irritating to not get emotional payoff, meaning a laugh, from the jokester. So, our listener again asks, "Who's there?" Which brings another banana answer from the jokester. So now our listener really expects the answer payoff emotion after asking yet again, "Banana who?" And here comes progressive complication number 3, the turning point of the joke/scene. This is the moment when the story value at stake in the scene shifts. We all know that the value at stake in a joke is whether or not it is funny. At the beginning of a joke, the joke listener expects to laugh. This is because it's a universal fact that telling a joke is not easy. So if someone offers to tell you one, you assume it will be funny. That's because we all know that no person on the planet enjoys telling jokes that aren't funny. Unfunny jokes disappoint the audience, and worse, alienate them. No one wants to hang out with someone who thinks they can tell a joke but can't. So, the story value at stake in a joke is amusement. And the spectrum of value will be funny on the positive side and not funny on the negative side. Now, back to our banana joke slash scene. When our jokester declines to answer banana who yet again, and instead says knock knock yet again, the value of the joke in the listener's mind turns from maybe funny to so not funny that it's irritating. Or more precisely, the listener's mood shifts from marginally amused to irritated. This progressive complication number three is the turning point for this joke slash scene. When our jokester declines to answer banana who yet again, and instead says knock knock yet again, the value of the joke in the listener's mind turns from maybe funny to so not funny that it's irritating. Or more precisely, the listener's mood shifts from marginally amused to irritated. This progressive complication number three is the turning point for this joke slash scene. The turning point is the complication moment just before the very next commandment of storytelling, which is commandment number three, the crisis. The crisis of a scene raises a question in the unsatisfied character's mind. In this case, the joke listener's mind. And the question that arises is either a best bad choice question or an irreconcilable goods question. Best bad choice questions are lesser of two evil choices. Irreconcilable goods questions are of the only one party can be satisfied variety. In our joke slash scene case, the crisis question for the listener is, do I shut down this stupid joke now and hurt the jokester's feelings? Or do I repress my irritation and play it out until the end? Depending upon how you interpret those choices, they're either best bad choice or irreconcilable goods crises. Our listener decides to ride it out until the end. We know this because of the emergence of the fourth commandment of storytelling, which is the necessity of having a climax. The climax is the decisive action that the distressed character takes, which results from his answer to the crisis question. The climax of this joke slash scene is when our joke listener asks, "Who's there?" for the third time. Now we've reached the end of the middle of the joke slash scene. Can you see that we had two progressively more irritating complications that gave rise to a crisis, which then generated an active climactic choice? This is why we call the middle of stories the build. We're now about to get the ending payoff of our banana knock knock joke slash scene. The end begins with progressive complication number four, which is the new answer from the jokester. After the climactic action of the joke listener, represented by the third time he's asked who's there, our jokester says, "Orange." This is completely counter to the expectations of the listener. Our listener probably expected to hear banana again, or something to do with bananas. He's now curious to find out what caused the jokester to change his answer. He reacts to this fourth complication by asking, "Orange who?" Now we get the punchline of the joke, which represents the fifth commandment of storytelling. The fifth commandment is the resolution. The resolution resolves the conflict between the two characters in a surprising but inevitable way. So the jokester's punchline, "Aren't you glad I didn't say banana?" resolves the story. It does so because it dramatically shifts the story value from irritating at the crisis at the end of the middle build to amusing or funny at the resolution. To recap, the story value changed a number of times in this very brief 14-line joke/scene. It began as hopefully amused and moved to mildly amused, and then crashed at climax to irritated, only to rise again at the payoff resolution to amused. Here are the takeaways from lesson two. A scene's 1,500 words can be broken down into five parts. Those five parts are what I call the five commandments of storytelling. 1. The inciting incident. 2. Progressive complications. 3. Crisis. 4. Climax. And 5. Resolution. The big question now is, can we use this information to reduce our big 50,000-word NaNoWriMo novel problem even further than 33 1,500-word scenes? The answer, of course, is yes, and I'll cover that in the third and final lesson next.